way before the world was created. And Father, we thank you because, Lord, you are always faithful to remember us and to give us what we need, Lord, even if it's not always what we want or not always when we want it. And Father, we especially thank you that you were faithful in your promises to send us a deliverer. Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross that our sins may be washed away and that we may be able to enter your presence once again. Father, I pray that as we prepare to hear your word preached this morning, Lord, may you be with Pastor Jim, that what he preaches, Lord, may be according to your will and according to that of none other. And Father, I also pray that for each of us, Lord, as we receive your word this morning, Lord, may our hearts be open, Lord, and may our minds be receptive and understanding to what is preached. And Lord, may we remember the things that you would have us remember as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Would you pray with me once again? Actually, would you pray for me? I'm having a difficult passage. All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would clear our minds of any distractions, Lord, and help us to look carefully into your word and find truth and speak truth and beauty and what you want us to hear, Lord, this morning. Be with myself as I preach. Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom and understanding. Be with this congregation as we hear your word, to not only hear it, but also be receptive and to act upon it. Lord, be with us this morning and help us not take your word for granted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of us, I think, we'd say that we are pretty sensible people. Pretty sensible people. We like things to make sense, right? We like things to make sense. From the moment we're born, we're trying to make sense of the world, right? We look for patterns. We learn the rules of why things happen the way they happen. We see cause and effect, right? We're making sense of the world. Cause and effect. If I put my hand on a hot stove, I feel ouchy. If I don't eat, I get hungry. Right? Cause and effect. Those are the rules. That's just how things are. And that becomes our common sense. Right? We like it when we know the rules, when things are predictable, when things can go according to plan. Right? Inevitably, sometimes things don't work out as planned, and we ask ourselves, why? Why, right? If you have little kids or you know little kids, their favorite question is, why? Right? Why is this? Why is that? Why? It's in our nature. We are curious beings. We like to know the unknown. We want to know why. Why do things happen? Cause and effect. But what happens when there's something that happens that doesn't follow the normal patterns? What happens when we can't understand why? We try to understand it, we look at it on all the different angles, and we still don't understand why. Cause and effect doesn't seem to be there. In today's text, as you can see, Ecclesiastes 8, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, right? He's actually reached the limits of his wisdom, and he sees something, and he can't figure out why, right? This is probably the limits of human wisdom, and he comes to this conclusion. Sometimes we just don't know why. Maybe we'll never know why. Maybe we're not meant to understand why. Right? Maybe we're not meant to understand everything. Some things only God knows. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 8? verses 14 to 17. Sometimes we don't know why. Okay. Verse 14. There is a vanity. Oops, hang on a second. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And I commend joy, for man has no good thing under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the earth. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw that all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Let's pray. Lord, we don't know why. We don't always understand why things happen. We don't understand injustice. We don't understand your ways, Lord. Help us to accept that and to just have faith in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our first verse, Solomon just observes a vanity, right? Again, this word vanity is hevel. It means something that isn't really lasting. It's commonly described as like a mist, a vapor, something without substance, right? A vanity, right? Or meaningless, right? There's no meaning to it. And Solomon says he has observed the situation that appears to be meaningless or senseless. Like I said, we like to make things to make sense. We like it when there's a cause and effect. But Solomon says there's something that doesn't seem to make sense in this world, right? And it's verse 14, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, right? The righteous people are getting what the wicked deserve. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. There are wicked people that are getting what the righteous deserve. That doesn't seem to make sense. That's not in the normal pattern of things. That's not typical cause and effect, right? Bad things are happening to good people, and good things are happening to bad people. That's not normal. How can this be? This doesn't seem to fit our common sense. This doesn't seem to fit our preconceived notions of justice, of God's law. Right? As we read in the Old Testament, God has spoken many times in his word that the wicked will be punished and the righteous will be rewarded. That's the normal pattern. If you read the Bible, that's the normal pattern of things. That's God's way of things. That's the norm, right? Thus saith the Lord. Right? The wicked will be punished and the righteous will be rewarded. And yet, Solomon says, when we look around us, that doesn't seem to be the case. Right? Bad things are happening to good people, and good things are happening to bad people. This doesn't make sense. Is this a divine injustice that he sees? Why does this happen, right? That's our first response, and we just ask ourselves, why? Why is it like this? Why is the world like this? Bad things happen to good people. Why? It doesn't make sense, God. Why? I have an illustration of this. When I was in high school, I was really good in a couple of subjects and really bad in others. Okay. One of the subjects that I was pretty good in was math. Pretty good in math. I was good in numbers, but not only was I good with numbers, I also worked really hard at math. You know, I did all my homework, I paid attention in class. I worked hard at understanding math. And I would do pretty well on my tests. And most of my friends knew it, right? We knew what each other we got on our grades and stuff. My friends knew that I did well in math. One day we were taking a test. It became apparent to me that one of my friends was cheating off of my paper. Right? He's cheating off of me. When the teacher, right, they'd look around, this is a test, an exam, and of course the teacher doesn't look around the whole time, you know, they start reading their books or whatever. My friend would just start looking at my paper blatantly when the teacher had, you know, her head down or whatever. And of course, I didn't like this. Like, hey, what's going on here? I had studied all night long for this test, and so what did I do? What would you do if your friend is trying to cheat off your test? You hide your paper, right? You start folding it over, or you cover it with your arm or whatever, or you start turning your shoulder and blocking their view, right? But my friend tried even harder, right? Even more blatant. They just like get out of their chair and, you know, look around. And no matter how hard I tried, my friend just wouldn't give up. And so, of course, what happened? What happens? The teacher, she caught us, right? And then gave us both zeros, right? I got a zero on my test just because my stinking friend tried to cheat off me, right? Right? That's not fair. I did nothing wrong. I was being good. I was the one that studied all night. I was the one that was trying to prevent cheating from happening. Right? I was good. That's not fair. Why does this bad thing happen to good people? Why was I being punished? It's not fair. Right? Bad things happen to good people. On the other hand, there were subjects that I wasn't all that great in. In fact, I was really, really bad in some subjects. My worst subject, can anyone guess? PE? No, not that bad. Come on. No, I was okay with science. There you go. Chinese. I was absolutely terrible in Chinese. No matter how hard I studied or tried, I just couldn't memorize. Like, Chinese characters are hard. Just couldn't memorize it. I couldn't remember everything. I would study for hours and hours, and I still wouldn't remember things, right? And so, yeah, I was really bad in Chinese, and eventually, I gave up trying. I just didn't even want to try anymore. And guess what? I became the cheater. Right? I was the one that used to cheat on my homework and my tests. One of my friends, he was amazing at Chinese. I think he was, you know, he'd grown up locally in Taiwan, and so his Chinese was like perfect. I don't even know how he got stuck in my second grade Chinese class or whatever. His Chinese was just unbelievable, right? And so he'd let me and some of my other friends cheat off of him. He'd give us his homework, you know, 15 minutes before class, and we'd like furiously copy down our, you know, homework. We had like production line, you know, like in Chinese you're supposed to like write every character like 20, 50 times. We just go 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, cheat on our tests. I know all the ways to cheat, and we could talk about that later if you want. They're just it's too easy to cheat. It's just too easy, okay? And guess what? Guess what? We never got caught, right? We never got caught. Or if we did, the teacher just turned a blind eye. I don't know which it was. Maybe she didn't care. Maybe she just wanted us to pass and to just get out of her class because we were just such terrible students. I don't know. I don't know, right? But we never got caught, and I eventually passed Chinese and did okay, right? That's not fair. That's not fair either, right? Good things happen to bad people, right? So bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. It's not fair. The system is not fair. It's broken. What is going on? Why does this happen? Why does God allow this? Now that my example, that's just one example, right? But really, if you think about it, stuff like this happens every day, all the time, right? The world over. And not just cheating on tests and homework, but in real situations that really matter, right? The righteous suffer, right? The wicked prosper. That's just a fact of life. If we look around, that's how things are. The righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. Why? Why does this happen? This doesn't make sense. How can God allow this? Right? Is God not just? Does he really not care about right and wrong? Is he not really just? Is God not able? Is he not able to administer his justice? Why are things so unfair? Why? Why? Right? That's a question that might keep us up at night. Why does this happen? It doesn't make sense. Right? It shouldn't be this way. Solomon, he can't give us an answer. He himself, the wisest man in the world, can't even give us a straight answer. Right? He says, this is vanity. This is a vanity. It doesn't make sense. I can't make sense of it. Nobody can make sense of it. This is a vanity. Right? As soon as you try to settle onto one explanation, maybe this is why things happen the way they happen. Wait a second. Maybe another explanation seems to make more sense. And then another, and then another. Right? No single explanation seems suitable, seems fitting. This question, this problem, it's called theodicy. The question of why a good God would allow injustice and evil in the world. This is really, I mean, if whatever answer you settle on, there's another answer waiting, right? It's like chasing after the wind, theodicy. Instead, Solomon says, maybe you're not supposed to understand why. Here's something firm that you can grasp onto, okay? Here's something that you can understand. Okay, 15. And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. So rather than try to fix all the problems under the sun, all the injustice that we see under the sun, Solomon says, here, just focus on what God has given you. Okay? God has given you something. Just focus on that, all right? God has given. These are the words that I think we really need to focus on. Eat, drink, be merry, do your work, right? This is your lot under the sun, he says elsewhere. Accept it and enjoy it, right? Focus on what God has given you, right? Let God be God, and you focus on what you've been given. Do what you can, accept what you can't. Know your limits, and know when you just have to let things go. Know when you have to stop. Know when you have to rest. Right? You can't solve and fix all the world's problems. Right? We can't fix everything. But we wish we could. Right? Especially for us guys, I think our first response is, if there's a problem, we got to fix it, right? Just point me in the right direction and let me fix that problem for you, right? We think if we had more time, more resources, more passion, we could solve all the world's problems. We could eradicate hunger, end conflicts. We could solve injustice. We could fix things as if we were omnipotent and omnipresent. We could fix things, right? But God isn't calling us to fix everything. Sometimes God just wants to fix us. And then, maybe, just maybe, he gives us the grace to fix the problems around us, right? The problems that he's given to us, starting with those around us, right? Our families, our friends, our workplaces, our church, our community. Right? These are the opportunities for change that God has given us. Right? Don't get overwhelmed and depressed thinking about all the problems of the world and the injustices all around us that, frankly, we can't do that much about. We need to know the limits of our strength and the boundaries of our influence. We are not omnipotent. We are not omnipresent. We can't be everywhere. God has given us a very specific set of things to deal with. Know the limits of your strength. Know the boundaries of your influence. Know what God has given you, your daily life, your family life, your job. And these are the things that God has given you to enjoy and also to steward. Right? Start there. Start there. Okay. I found a quote that illustrates this point nicely. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. This is by Mother Teresa. I kept searching and searching to verify if she really said this. And from what I've gathered, I think this is a real quote. This is legitimate. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. God's not calling us all to be missionaries in third world countries or to crusade against the world's injustices and fix all the world's problems. That's not all of our callings. Sometimes what God has put right in front of us, that's enough. Start there. That's enough. Verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man might toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Solomon, he concludes by saying, if you're getting so upset with all the problems that you see around you in the world and all these injustices that people face, and then you let it really get to you, you're going to lose sleep over it. You're going to lose sleep. You're going to go crazy thinking about all the things that should be and are not. You're going to go crazy, and you're going to lose sleep. Why worry about things that you can't change? Why worry about things that you can't change? This reminds us of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, right? Just worry about today. Right? Worrying about the future is futile. It's fruitless. It's meaningless because we don't know what the future will hold. Worrying about the world's injustices is fruitless because we don't really understand, fully know what God is doing in the world. Solomon says, no matter how hard we try, no matter how wise we may claim to be, we can never know, quote, all the work of God, let alone the reasons he has for doing things. We will never know all the work of God. My kids, they're 4 and 3 now, they're into puzzles, right? Puzzles. We buy them puzzles. Typically, they're like 24 pieces, 30 pieces. Sometimes we'll get them like a 50-piecer. And they're not like the tiny little things. I don't think they could do them. They're like big floor puzzles. Okay? Have you seen these before? Floor puzzles, right? they're pretty easy, but you know, for a 3 or 4-year-old, I guess they're hard. And I'm trying to teach them how to do these puzzles without necessarily looking straight at the paper, the cheat sheet. And so I taught them this thing. Why don't you group all the colors together, right? All the dark green, put them all together. All the dark blue, you put them all together. All the, you know, the red, whatever, you put those together, right? So there's these little piles. I tell them to create these little piles and help them. That'll help them categorize this puzzle, right? And if you look at, like, you say all the dark green, typically all the dark green fit together, right? Typically, all the dark reds fit together. Typically, all the blues fit together because they're trying to make some kind of a picture, right? Something. But sometimes, right, in the little pile of green, right, and you start fitting them together, there's one piece that doesn't fit because it's not meant to be part of this picture. It's meant somewhere else, right, on the other side of the puzzle or whatever. But my kids, right, they don't understand this, and they're going to try to make this piece fit. They're going to, right, they've got all the greens, and they all fit together, except for this one piece. They're going to try all the different edges and all the different sides and all the different corners. They're going to try to make it fit, right, but it just won't fit because it's not meant to fit, right? It's meant to be over there. It doesn't fit, right? Puzzles, fitting. Maybe I think we do kind of the same thing with our lives. I think we do kind of the same thing with our lives. We create our own little categories for life. Right? Okay, this category, these people are good people. Right? These events, these are good events. Right? These are bad things, right? We don't want these things to happen to us. These are bad things. This category is bad. This is what's supposed to happen to me, and these are things that are never going to happen to me, right? And we categorize all these things in our life, but once in a while, something happens that doesn't fit our category, right? Our plan, our pattern for our life, it doesn't fit. One of these pieces ends up, you know, in this pile, and it doesn't fit in this category. And we get anxious. We try to make it fit, but it doesn't fit. And we lose sleep trying to figure out, where did this piece come from? Why did that thing happen to me? Right. What we fixate on are just one or two pieces of a puzzle. But God sees the whole picture. Maybe that thing that just happened to you, right, that isn't fitting into your plan right now, maybe it's going to make sense in a couple years when the picture is more full. But in the meantime, when something doesn't fit, it's frustrating. We get anxious. We lose sleep, right? And we say, why, God? Why? Why did that girl break up with me? Right? It's not fair. I was really good to her. Why did she break up with me? Why did I lose my job? I was a really hard worker. I did everything right. I worked harder than everybody else. But why did I lose my job? It's not fair. Why? Why did I have to go through that painful experience? I didn't deserve that. Why? That's what we do when things don't fit into our pattern and our plans. Why, God? Before jumping to conclusions of despair or disappointment, maybe we should consider the limitations of our perspective. Right? We need to know the limits of our wisdom. We're not omniscient. We don't have the big picture. Right? Know the limits of our wisdom. Right? God has his reasons. We'd be presumptuous to think that we can figure it all out. Isaiah 55:8, a famous passage. You guys have all heard this before. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Right? God has the big picture. Right? We have a very limited perspective on things. Well, we don't know why God allows injustice. We don't know why sometimes we suffer unfairly. We don't even know why things don't go according to our plan. We can't even figure that out. Right? We can't even figure out our own lives, let alone the whole world's problems. Right? But we can be sure that God has allowed these things to happen, that God has his reasons that we don't understand, but he has good reasons for it. And we'd sleep better at night, not by knowing all the answers. Right? Knowing all the answers isn't going to give us peace. We sleep better at night by trusting in his wisdom, that his ways are higher than our ways. Right? His plans are better than our plans. That's how we come to peace, by trusting in God. Ultimately, I think in this passage today, like I said, it was a pretty difficult passage. I think what Solomon is trying to get us to do is, I think he's trying to put us in our place. I think he's trying to remind us that we live and breathe and we see things under the sun. Our perspective is worldly and human and limited and flawed. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipotent. We're not omnipresent. No, we're just human. Even the wisest human among us cannot know God's reasons for doing what he does and allowing the world to be the way it is. There was a movie that I love. Last night I was only gonna watch like 10 minutes of it for research purposes, of course. And guess what? I ended up watching like an hour. The movie Bruce Almighty. Who's seen this? Bruce Almighty. Oh, okay. Not everybody. I'm surprised. Okay. In it, Bruce, this regular guy, right? Jim Carrey. He gets God's powers, right? He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, or whatever. He gets God's powers for like a week or something. But he also gets God's responsibilities, right, for a week. And there's this point in this movie that he's listening to people's prayers, right? Everybody's praying to him, and he's just like, okay, fine, go. And he gets overwhelmed, right? And so he just says, he goes and answers everybody's prayers, right? He doesn't even really listen to the prayers. He just says, yeah, go for it, right? And so Jim Carrey, God now, he answers everybody's prayers. And he gives everybody exactly what they want. He lets all their plans come to fruition. And do you remember what happens? It doesn't end up well. It doesn't work out very well. It's terrible, right? Things are going crazy. Everybody's winning the lottery, and everybody's getting job promotions, and everybody's like losing all this weight and to the point of sickness. And it's just not good, right? When everybody gets what they want, things go crazy, right? We often think that we know what's best for us, what's best for the world. We think we know what's best for us and what's best for the world. But I think God, the real God, I think he knows better. I think God knows better. He's wiser than us. He's definitely more powerful than us. I think God knows better. So in conclusion, I really only have 2 points. Know the limits of your strength, right? We do what we can with what we've been given, right? Know the limits of your strength and know the limits of your wisdom, right? Accept the fact that God knows better. God knows better. And that's really it. We just accept that we are humans and God is God, right? Know the limits of your strength and know the limits of your wisdom. I wanted to end today with a prayer. This is the Serenity Prayer. You guys may have seen this on little coffee mugs and Christian memorabilia and stuff like that, but this is the full prayer written by Richard Niebuhr. This is the full prayer, as far as I can tell. Let's read it together, and let this be our prayer to close this out. Okay. God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make it all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we don't know why things happen the way they do. Sometimes things don't make sense to us, God, but we trust that you know best for us, for this world. We trust that you are still in control. Lord, I pray that you would help us to accept our limitations, that we can't do everything, we can't know everything. You are God. Lord, put us in our place and help us to trust in your goodness. Help us to trust in you. And if there is something that we should change, Lord, help us to change it. Maybe it's just at home. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's at our workplace. Lord, help us to change what we can. Help us to accept what we can't. And help us to know the difference, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that it brings. And we thank you that you are good to us, even when we don't understand everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing in response to the message. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in.
follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. You alone, you're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending. I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you.
Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are a God who is all-wise and all-knowing. And Lord, as finite beings who cannot comprehend who you are or what your perfect plan is, Father, I ask that you cause us to be content with our lot. And Father, I ask that you help each of us just to trust that your ways are good and that your ways are perfect. And Lord, that it is just our place to follow you and to obey you. And Lord, we thank you that Lord, even if we can't understand, that you are always at work on our behalf. And Lord, that you have our very best in mind and that you are faithful to provide. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Great to see all of you. Some of you we haven't seen in a while, and Dennis, it's great to have you back. A couple of announcements to share with you today. So after the service, we have a time of fellowship and snacks. We do have all the classes available as well. The adult English class will continue to meet behind the sanctuary here. The youth will continue to meet in the fellowship hall. For those of you that are still considering the summer conference at the end of July, registration has begun. Even if you don't have your checkbook or your money with you, it's still important to register so that we could get an accurate count. There should be a table in the foyer, the entrance area, so we definitely encourage you to connect with them, ask them any questions that you have. It is the last weekend of July. We will continue to have both an English and a Chinese track, so we encourage you to register. We also encourage you to pray for David And Jennifer is there on a missions trip to Nicaragua. And so please keep them in your prayers this week. With that, I'll ask Pastor Jim.
Well, we didn't have the promotional video. It's okay. We'll show it next week. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for leading us and guiding us every step of the way of our lives, of our faith. Help us to trust in you, Lord, even when things don't seem fair, when things don't seem right, when we can't make sense of it. Build our faith, increase our faith, Lord. Help us to trust that you have a plan for us, that you are good to us, that you want to use us for your kingdom, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord, in you as we see who we are and accept our own limitations, and as we see who you are and see how powerful and all-knowing and wise you are. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, and thank you for showing us who we are. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.